This meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, so this is Lorene Capon, and we're convening our sub-team meeting on consumer trust and safeguards. And for this first session, I thought it would be productive to do a little bit of stepping back and looking at our scope and mandate, and then moving on to the discussion papers to really take a hard look at ensuring that our discussion paper high-level question and sub-questions fit within that mandate. I'm appreciative of everyone's work that they've done thus far, and I just want to make sure that the work we are doing subsequent to this is as focused and as precise as it needs to be, so that no one's spinning their wheels. So can we make that much bigger so everyone can see it more clearly, including those with older eyes? There we go. Love that. That's a great function. And what I've done to help facilitate that is just basically put together a document that we can provide, but pull some key language from both the affirmation of commitment and our own terms of reference to keep in mind. So starting with the affirmation of commitments, they're very specific about the role for this review, and that's to ensure that as the new GTLD space is contemplated being expanded, that a bunch of various issues are going to be looked at. And for our purposes, i.e. this sub-team, that includes consumer protection, security, stability, resiliency, malicious abuse issues, sovereignty concerns, and rights protection. And I say for our purposes, actually, that's, I misspoke. That's a general statement. Our issues are subsumed within that. So if you look at the second highlight, ICANN will organize a review. So that review, for our purposes, is the extent to which the introduction or expansion of GTLDs has promoted consumer choice. That's what we're about here in this room now. And safeguards put in place to mitigate issues involved in the introduction or expansion.
I think consumer trust is what we're
involved in. I'm sorry, did I say consumer choice? I misspoke. Thank you. Consumer, I should know this, consumer trust. So you'll see in some of our further discussion about topic papers and sub-questions that I'm going to have some feedback about being very precise about fitting within this particular concept of whether the expansion has promoted consumer trust and the safeguards put in place to mitigate issues involved in the expansion. And then we have our own terms of reference, which pick this up and expand upon it a little bit. If we can scroll down. So the other thing that being looked at is effectiveness of the safeguards enacted to mitigate issues involved in the introduction of new GTLDs. And I see that's not highlighted, but it should have been. But this question of effectiveness is very important also, the effectiveness of the safeguards. And then we have a definition of effectiveness, to what degree the process was successful in producing desired results and achieving objectives. And the reason I'm repeating that is many times we're using the word effective, and I wanted people to keep in mind that effectiveness is actually defined in our terms of reference. Moving down, there's some more information for under scope. In the second paragraph, you can see that as a last statement, we say the review will also consider the effectiveness of safeguards enacted to mitigate abuse, and it's understood to include a review of rights protection mechanisms, and I'm paraphrasing here, as well as other efforts to mitigate DNS abuse, such as public interest commitments. And then finally, there are definitions. We have a definition of consumer. We have a definition of consumer trust. And then finally, I thought it was productive to include, if we scroll down, Alice, to goals of new GTLD program. Because this is all... this is somewhat through the lens of the goals for the new GTLD program. I thought it was also useful to look at the goals, at least as expressed in 2011, when the board of directors authorized the launch of the new GTLD program. And it said the goals include enhancing competition and consumer choice, and enabling the benefits of innovation via the introduction of new GTLDs. So I've said a lot of words and I've quoted a lot of things, but my intent here is to have us keep these principles in mind as we are formulating our sub-questions. Because if our sub-questions and our high-level questions don't sync up with these primary tasks, our mandate, then we're not heading in the right direction. So I wanted to introduce this session by reminding everyone of those things. And I apologize in advance if this is all things you know already. I'm sure you've heard it already. But at least I myself found it useful to go back to the affirmation of commitment and the terms of reference, and instead of looking at the entire things and memorizing everything, to pluck out what I thought was most pertinent for our consumer trust and safeguards focus. So I'll have this posted, and I think it may actually be posted on the wiki now, as a reference for people so that you can, at any time you want to, go back and say, okay, I'm really interested in this, and I've identified this, this, and this as sub-questions, or I'm branching off into this discussion, and to just look at this as a check and say, okay, this is fascinating, but does it fit within our mandate? So that said, then I thought we could move on to a discussion of our paper topics through the lens of our mandate as expressed in the affirmation of commitments and our terms of reference. But before we move on to that next session, does anyone have any questions or comments? Is this useful? Okay. So let's move on to discussion paper topics. And Alice, if you can, actually, I think it may be in the same, I think it's in that, is it in that same document or no? Actually, if we can do the paper with the sub-questions on it, is that what you were already going to? I actually have a document that I prepared that has everyone's everyone's high level and sub questions, and I'll apologize in advance for any formatting quirks. And if we scroll down, I think it starts on page 4. Okay, right. So, this is what I thought we could start discussing. And can you make it a tiny bit bigger? Yeah, great. Can everyone see that since I've asked you in this very firm way to shut your computers? I want to make sure everyone can actually see that. Can everyone see that? Yes? If anyone's having trouble seeing it, we can make it even bigger. Yeah? Right? I could do that too. Is that big enough for everyone? Yes?
Yep.
Okay, good. Woohoo! Great. So if we can scroll up. So what I want people to... I'm sorry, if we can get to the top of the paper. Thank you. There we go. I know that the discussion papers had been ordered and they number 11 and people may be remembering their paper numbers. So forget your paper numbers for now because I've actually reordered this in a way that seemed more intuitive. So don't get confused by the fact that these numbers are not the same numbers as your papers. What I've tried to do is separate this into the two buckets of our mandate, and that is have the new GTLDs promoted consumer trust, and the effectiveness of safeguards enacted to mitigate issues involved in expanding GTLDs. So there's a consumer trust bucket, and there's a safeguards bucket, basically. And then I've tried to fit everyone's papers within those two buckets. And I wanted to start off by talking about people's high-level questions, and these are the discussion paper topics. Those are the highest-level questions we have, other than, you know, these mandate issues that the affirmation of commitments and terms of reference already provided to us. I wanted to start off by having us make sure that the discussion paper questions have actually captured what we need it to be. So I started off with the consumer trust issues. Yes, yes.
Carlos, for the record, can I assume that these questions are high level in terms of the LA meeting? Or, yes, that's a question. Thank you.
Maybe. Alice corrected me. We came up with an initial set of high-level questions in LA, and we've since refined them. So it's sort of like a dynamic list, but these are the questions we refer to as high-level questions at this point.
And also, just to further clarify, Carlos, as Jonathan pointed out, this has been evolving. So I think there's probably some differences between these particular questions that Drew helped identify with the group for discussion papers, and that evolved from our LA discussion. So I don't want people to get hung up on looking at the LA questions and thinking, okay, that's definitive. I think actually the whole LA question issue was in the context of the application and evaluation process, and that's why that was the context for that discussion. I don't want our sub-team to be confused and go back to a list of questions in LA because our work has continued since LA and we have refined those questions for our discussion paper topics. Where we are now is I am asking the question, these are the discussion paper topics we chose. I want to make sure that this fits within our mandate, and I want to have an opportunity to further refine that if needed. Does that make sense?
Yes. If by refining we mean clarification or bringing our input, yes. For me, it's very important to see that we have some leeway to discuss the top-level questions.
Absolutely.
And that's the reason I was asking. It's not that I want to have a list. It's just to make sure that when we discuss these questions, we are at that level. That's what I want.
We're exactly on the same page, Carlos. That's the whole purpose of this first session. Okay. So, the first mandate issue concerns consumer trust, and right now we have two papers on that, and you'll see I've added a possible third. This isn't something we've had a subpaper on. It's something that occurs to me. But before we get to that, one of our papers is, are consumers aware of new GTLDs? Carlton has taken the lead on that paper. So my question is, are folks comfortable with that as one of our high-level questions for this consumer trust issues? Are consumers aware of new GTLDs? Carlos.
I want to make clear that we are departing from the accumulated definition of consumers, and from the Nielsen report we have had seen some difference between the two type of consumers, between the registrants and the users, and I would agree to the question acknowledging that this seems to be, to me personally, more driven by the registrants than by the final users. This is awareness. Okay, awareness.
This is Carlson for the record. Their approach in this case, Carlos, was from the opposite end. We're looking at consumers, end users. That's where we kind of focused on the research. End users, not registrants. End users.
So that would suggest a refinement of the question to say end users, mm-hmm. right, and to specify that. And so, getting back to the idea of whether or not new GTLDs have promoted consumer trust, I think it has to do with whether or not their trust in the overall system has improved as a result of the program as well. So, I mean, I think that the awareness is there, and then also when we look at end users for question two, it's not just trust of new GTLDs, but probably whatever that is, the DNS or something like that. It's the
legal one.
Right.
So I want to unpack that a little bit. Because there are two separate issues being raised here. One is I hear Carlos asking about registrants, which at this point have not been a focus of our consumer trust topic papers. So that raises the question of... Right. Well, that raises the question of, Should we be adding a discussion paper on trust from the registrant perspective, especially now that we have updated information from the registrant? So feedback on that.
This is Drew for the record. I think we should, for sure, for this question, I think we should ask that, I guess, with each subsequent question, ask whether or not we can better craft the question to address both end users and registrants with the same question, or whether we should make distinct questions for each. And so I think for awareness and for trust, we should definitely have distinct questions between end users and registrants, because it's important to describe So the data is going to be different, but also it's important to describe those communities in different ways. And I think we're going to, we'll go through the questions, but I think we're going to need to think about this exact topic, too, as we get to safeguards as well.
So this is Carlton for the record. I'm agreeing with Drew that we should address them as two separate. And I think going through the triage should be in both groups. I can tell you from the ILAC perspective, we've always held that a consumer has two segments. There's the end user, and then there's the registrant. So that's all for sure.
Pablo, for the record, and adding to that, I think if we define consumers just as that, we should abide for a definition that has two different ones. And we should discuss if you want also to compare them or not. So Nielsen results present one, the other, and how they compare. So it might be that the questions are okay, but if you talk about consumers aware of new GTLDs, end users, registrants, and how they compare.
So this, I think this is very, very useful because although I swept over it, as folks recall, our definition of consumer is not just end users, it's registrants as well, and I know people have given me, people have commented on that in terms of feedback that we need to be very precise with that. So this is why I think this exercise is so useful. And I'm wondering, Alice, since I'm taking notes in my Stone Age system, but can we edit this document so that we can capture some of these refinements, or have I hobbled us in doing that by making it a Word document? And I see you, Carlos. I just want to are we able to do that, Alice? Yes, good. Okay, I just wanted to make sure we had a yes there. Go ahead, Carlos.
Yes, I still want to comment on the previous.
Sure.
On the one we just commented, I have the following problem. I don't only need a list, I need a hierarchy, and the way I understood Jonathan's comment before was that trust is a very top-level concept, very well adapted to the whole DNS. And on a second level, we have this awareness that we have there and we're applying it to consumers. And then on a very specific level where we have data points and so on, we have safeguards and abuse. Those are rather measurable. And one of the big problems I have is the jump from trust at a very high level to safeguards.
Okay,
or to abuse.
Right.
I know, but we tend to say, okay, did safeguards improve trust? Did we reduce abuse with the safeguards? These jumps that for people probably who don't speak English as a language, but are used to think in German, the hierarchy is very important.
That is an important question, and I want to get to that a little later in our conversation because I absolutely agree with you, but I don't want to get into that discussion right now because it's too soon in terms of these questions. But in terms of the leap from trust to safeguards, yes, we need to talk about that. We need to figure out how we're going to grapple with that, but not right now. So
that's very important.
It's crucial for all of us. So it's not just important to you, Carlos. I think everyone feels that that's crucial. So I just wait 1 second. So I want to make sure we're capturing this. So before I move on to the other part that I wanted to unpack, which was Jonathan's observation about overall trust in the DNS in general, let's just make sure our notes reflect this prior conversation. So are consumers aware of new GTLDs? Underneath that, can we add as an A, end users, and then as a B, registrants? Okay. And then, David, did your comment, yeah, go ahead, relate to this.
David Taylor. So my question is, which we might already have this, so just remind me, is when does an end user become a registrant? Is it a registrant of any domain name anywhere in the world, or is it of a new GTLD?
Any domain
name. So just one domain name, immediately an end user becomes a registrant.
Okay. Then our higher, then our, the other issue that Jonathan raised, and this echoes back to our discussion just this morning, and I think Jordan has been the person who's most consistently reminded us of perhaps the biggest universe that we're dealing with, which is overall trust in the DNS system. My question is that a question for a separate discussion paper, or is it a sub-question that we ask within perhaps discussion paper 2 of whether, well, it's not discussion paper 2 because that's do consumers trust new GTLDs. I'm wondering where we put it.
Well, this is Jonathan. One possible solution is to make question 2 a sub-question under that question about whether or not we've increased trust in the DNS. And so one of those questions is, do people trust new GTLDs, you know, et cetera, and have so it could just become a sub-question underneath a question that's more generally about trust. Do consumers trust?
So has
trust in the DNS improved or something?
Well,
like
it has to be more. It has to relate to the expansion of the new GTLDs, though, doesn't it?
Right. Has
the expansion of the new GTLDs?
Enhance trust in the new GTLDs. The June 2010 enhance trust. They enhance trust by assuming that there is a trust factor in the DNS. System. So I go with what Jonathan is saying, that we ask that question, and then we say, has the new GTLD actually produced?
In reality, we're back to the top question, then,
yes.
Right? I mean, that's what's just transpired.
But that's okay.
So the question then is, what is the sub? So are they aware of new GTLDs?
Yeah.
And then down here is somehow, I think that
have
trusting new GTLDs is a.
Is it announced?
Has trust in new GTLDs
enhance overall trust? They want to enhance trust. That's what they said.
Right. So has the expansion of new GTLDs enhanced trust in the
domain name system?
The domain name system.
Yes.
Which unfortunately has gotten us back to the top question, though. So we've now turned this into the mandate issue. So the question is how to break this into smaller projects, right? And so maybe mentioning trust is the wrong way to do it for question 2. Instead, it's, you know, are consumers aware of new GTLDs, And so maybe this is one of the sub-questions about, it's just that we need to tie it back to the mandate issue, so maybe we don't need to roll it up in the sub-question. I feel like I'm adding more confusion than clarity right now, but have safeguards helped to promote trust in the DNS? Has PICs helped to promote trust in the overall DNS? Things like that, I guess, those are the sub-questions, I think, associated with whether or not they trust new GTLDs could be a sub-question on itself. We just need to roll things back up to the mandate
question. Okay, I've seen a lot of hands, so let me give people a chance to... So, David, I saw you, then Fabro, then Carlos, then Drew.
David, I think I remembered my question until Jonathan confused me. onto where we put the, that's all right. I was just thinking, if the goal is to enhance trust, to me there seems that there is a difference between enhancing trust in the DNS generally and enhancing trust in the new GTLDs.
Anything to enhance, though, in the new GTLDs?
Well, exactly, yeah. You know, if you end up with a domain name, a TLD called .trust, and everyone trusts it, that doesn't enhance the trust in .com. In fact, it probably goes the other way. So you could arguably say you've enhanced it in one end and you've taken it away in the other. So I don't know how we capture that. I was kind of throwing a spanner in the works, but I think we need to be looking, do new GTLDs enhance trust of themselves? Do people trust that? And you compare to the legacy, and if we go down that route, I think we're okay. Whereas the other way, I was getting a bit confused. So just throwing that out, really.
Yeah, Fabra, I think the two main sub-questions here is trust there in the GTLDs? So the first question is, do people trust it? And then the second one is compared to what? So compare it to legacy today, or compare it to legacy before, or compare before the implementation period. So, but they're two different questions. Not high level, sub-level, two different sub-level.
Jonathan, for the record, given the fact that there weren't previously new GTLDs, we can't enhance trust in new GTLDs. We can say that we've created trustworthy new GTLDs, but the question we're then asked is have we in that process improved consumer trust in the overall DNS? Because now, for example, people are concerned about phishing scams. Does the introduction of .bank, for example, make people feel better about, you know, the internet? Because now there's something that's a place for .bank, and I'm less likely to be, you know, phished in .com because of the presence of .bank. I think that's kind of what they were trying to get at, is whether or not the innovations of the new program lead to a greater overall trust in the DNS. That's what I think we're tasked with asking.
So in comparison using the .com.trust, I think the first thing is, do people trust the TLDs? And we do have good data to provide this answer. But if people trust, and they trust more in .com, it's an issue. If they trust less, it's an issue. But maybe then we have a problem with the verb enhance, because we don't have the previous. So we can maybe just focus on documenting truth, trust.
But a change in, sorry, Jonathan again, a change in relative trust, I don't think matters. In other words, I think it's a red herring for David to say that, well, trust in .com went down. Because what that really means is I now have a greater feeling of security overall because I know where I want to go to do my banking. That means my trust in the system as a whole has improved. So it isn't about trusting .com less. It's about, is the system, when I open up my laptop and I start typing in, do I feel better about what I'm doing? Do I trust the system I'm entering into? And has the new program helped to promote that overall trust? I think that is the high-level question.
Yes, I read this morning David Taylor's paper, and I was very attracted by a question he puts under some of the sub-questions. Does it change anything compared to before? And Favreau just brought in also this concept of before and after, and I stick to my preliminary bias that I prefer to leave trust at the highest level, because for me the issue that the board put that forward is because there was some perceived risk that by expanding the DNS there was a risk there. And for me, it's very simple to see the risk. We had a fixed system. I mean, we had 22 up to 30, but very slow fixed system of TLDs. And now we jumped into a very dynamic system, greatly expanded, and purely arithmetically, the risk increases. We just have more places to abuse, phish, spam, and so on. So I think this is kind of a very high-level objective, a warning. Don't spoil it. We're going to move to a new system, and we have to be careful that the new system is good enough so as not to erode trust. And trust is very hard to measure. That's why I keep saying trust, we leave it at the higher level, and then we can compare. I mean, do we have more abuse before or after, or do we have more safeguards more or after, or do we get more confusion because we don't have org anymore? We have org, NGO, and ONG. You know, these are the kind of issues that we can feel at the lower level.
So I don't mean to drag this out, I guess, but I think what you're saying almost suggests two high-level sub-questions. One is, did we put sufficient measures in to mitigate erosions of trust as a result of the program? And were there innovations associated with the program that, in fact, enhanced trust? If I can channel Jamie Hedlund, I think this was his point that he made before, is that just the absence of erosion isn't the only thing. The other thing is potentially the promotion of trust through something like .bank, right? So in theory, there are things that the new program put in place that were designed to improve trust, and then there were other things that were put in place in the program designed to mitigate the risks of distrust. And so both of those are components to whether or not they promoted trust, I guess, right?
Amy couldn't join us because of some hot-button issues that cropped up in D.C. that conflicted. So we all miss Jamie. I'm putting that on the record. Yes, that was exactly what I wanted to do. So this would be a side conversation, David. Okay, so share it. No. So share it with us. That's exactly what I wanted to ask Jonathan to do, because I'm thinking that could be our sub-question four, to get this concept, instead of having what factors contribute to distrust, talking about this in terms of, the positive, what factors led to an enhancement of trust, and what factors did we put factors in place sufficiently to mitigate distrust? I'm paraphrasing, but that's exactly what I want to get to now. Can we put the, David, let's hear from you. Can we put that
David
in?
Taylor.
Can we replace that actually for question three? Yeah.
Here you go.
So what I was going to say, is why don't we kind of summarize everybody's points right now into just a bunch of mini questions and then start grouping those together and create whatever questions. So something I've been taking notes as people have been speaking. So it seems like something we want to figure out with this is we want to figure out, going back to our mandate, how the introduction of new GTLDs affected trust in the DNS systems, going to your point, Jonathan. And so as part of that, I think part of that we can just kind of easily answer with the Nielsen data. So there might be I don't know if this would be a sub-question, this would help form the big question, but something is just, the trust in the overall system changed at all since the introduction. And you don't have to necessarily tie it directly to the new GTLD, but just since the introduction, there's going to be something there with a timeline. And then there were separate questions, which I'm thinking this might go into a different category, that people were bringing up about the safeguards. Did the safeguards encourage trust, not encourage trust, things like that? But I think that's completely separate, because you could have no change in trust in the DNS system, and yet people are, have faith in the safeguards or something, but maybe that actually didn't play a role in whether or not they trusted the DNS, because they just see the DNS as a big system that, whether it includes, thousands more GTLDs or five more, they don't, distinguish. I was going to say, too, the way that you guys craft that question, or we all craft the question, we need to pay attention to this awareness thing that Laureen brought up previously, because it might be something where what we're actually trying to measure is, creating a Venn diagram, and it's of those people aware of the new GTLD program. And this would then be different from what I just said about the system as a whole, right? Because all those people answering whether they had trust in the DNS system may not have necessarily been aware of the new GTLD program. So you'd be looking at that subset of the people aware of the new GTLD program, and to maybe Fabro's point, did they have more or less trust in the new GTLDs than in legacy GTLDs? Something. I mean, that's where we could kind of get that comparison component. So sorry, I just wanted to share that as you guys were brainstorming.
Great. Thanks, Drew. So Fabro, and then let's move back to David and Jonathan.
Yeah, looking for the 2 and 2A. Actually, I think I agree with the argument that they are inverted. The main question here is about the domain name system. So what's the role of GTLDs in the domain name system? And then the secondary question is, do they trust new GTLDs or they distrust GTLDs and why? I'm not sure if it's easy for us to talk about the whole domain name system if the data reaches, but I would say that 2 and 2A are inverted. And just a question that came to my mind. I might be wrong, but trust is really important for our safe, for our group. Is awareness also important? Should we drop the questions of awareness, or should we keep it? I don't have answers for that, but just compare to trust.
Yeah, and Carlton, why don't you repeat your comment, and then Carlos.
Carlton, for the record, I was saying that the first thing you have to be aware of. So you got to know what's going on in the space before you can even begin to measure anything.
Okay.
So I don't think we can dismiss it at all. That's what I feel.
Carlos.
I feel very good in terms of awareness as an output of the Nielsen survey. So I wouldn't say put it aside. I mean, we have hard data of awareness both for users and registrants a year ago and today. So it's not that I would put it away. It's just it seems to be fixed. It's one of these areas where we have data.
And I think that one possible, and you're going into a kind of taxonomy. I'm just wondering if there's one... I almost want to go up to this whiteboard here, even though I'll write and people still won't be able to read my handwriting.
I've sent my bacteria to Alice as well. Sounds pretty bad.
Pharmaceuticals and things like that.
And those are things that we're doing that are designed to actually make the system more trustworthy than it was previously. So by bringing this new program in, we're trying to make the system as a whole more trustworthy. And then the other thing that Carlos mentioned is we're trying to address concerns that were raised about the rapid expansion of, and we put safeguards in place specifically to mitigate the risk of decreasing trust. And so that's sort of the tech, and then this is the perception issue that we're getting via the Nielsen survey is about people's perception and to the extent possible trying to tie that perception back to something specific trustworthiness initiatives that we have in place. So we ask questions like, are you more likely to trust if there's restrictions or validation in place, for example, is an attempt to kind of achieve some level of causation between the numbers that are in here and the numbers and the facts that we're establishing here. So what extent do these trustworthiness efforts have they reflected to date on the public? What is the extent to which they've had an impact on actual trust, I think was the purpose of the Nielsen survey. And I think what I heard from David earlier was that this largely worked because there wasn't an overall sense of erosion of trust among the public, and that instead there was some increased feeling in trust and some belief in the value of some of these innovations, such as FixFacts and things like that. That's sort of very broad terms. I feel the taxonomy of this question. That's helpful. Is this what he said? So you can disagree with what he said, but I just feel like what he said was that we can't point to his survey as a source of to suggest that there's been an erosion of trust in the DNS as a result of the expansion of UGTLD. We can say that factually. We might still disagree with the survey, but he was saying that by looking at my survey, you cannot use it as a way to suggest that trust has eroded.
Yes, but he, in the same sentence, he said that in some areas of the world, they didn't believe that these mitigation would work. I'm relating.
That's the improvement side,
yes.
As opposed to the mitigation side.
Yes.
So all I'm saying is that on the mitigation side, we seem to have gotten some validation that whatever it is we did, or despite what we didn't cause trust to collapse as a result of these. I think he was saying that. And then there's disagreement. There was a belief that there's potential to be had from these innovations, but there was some cynicism about whether we would realize that potential. Yeah. Right?
Okay, so I hope, could that all be picked up by the recording? Do we know? Good. No, I think that was very, very helpful. So, I'm not sure what we're seeing on the piece of paper. Is that you? Oh, David. So we never got back to you. Let's get back to you.
Thank you very much. David, for the record. So this is the little doodle I was just doing with Jonathan.
I love the phone shadow.
No, I wasn't. It wasn't a phone shadow. It wasn't a phone shadow. I didn't use my phone for this.
I will attest that David did not use his phone.
That's how he took a picture of it.
No, so just... discussion about the trust. I mean, I was looking there. If that circle, the top circle, is your .com, the world with .com, the Wild West, there's no safeguards. Anyone can register. Anything can happen. That makes sense. That's the way we were. If we put safeguards on .com, we would have complete trust. But that's not what we're doing. Hence, we've got the new GTLDs. And I was just imagining, as we were talking there, trying to amalgamate the two. There's your .com, and then we're getting these little turrets or these little castles appearing, which are all the new GTLDs through it. So you've got the .web, the .sux, the .web, anyone can register in .web, it's just like a .com, so that doesn't affect anything, that's why it was staying clear. And then you've got the .bank or the .pharma, which are blacker, so those ones you can see, there's more trust there because you've got safeguards which are effective and enforced. I was just doodling, so I was trying to think, how do we look at that when we're measuring trust? Because I struggle to figure out trust and enhancing trust and what we're talking about. And I think a lot of the questions which are posed to the consumers and the registrants, people will look at that question, answer it differently, depending on how they're looking at that. So if I'm looking at a dot bank and I've used dot bank, etc., I'm going to give a very different reply to if they're saying, do you trust new GTLDs? Do you trust this? Because it depends which ones you've come across and you've seen. So really that was just where I got to, and hence talking to Jonathan, just wondering whether there's any usefulness in looking at it that way.
So, and I see you, Carlos. What I want to turn our conversation to, and then I will definitely hear your question, Carlos, is how we incorporate this discussion that we've been having, which I think is very useful, into tweaking our high-level questions so we capture both the issue of promoting trust within the DNS as a whole and this concept of the impact on trust of innovations and measures to mitigate risks. So I just want to put that out there because that's what I want this conversation to feed into, to improving our questions. That's the task. So whether you agree or disagree with the last speaker, that's fine, but what I really want us focusing our comments on or to how we can refine these questions to make sure they're in the best possible sync with our mandate. So with that said, Carlos, do you have a comment on okay. Yep.
Just to comment on David's, because I read his paper in a lucid moment at 2 a.m. Of course, there is a dominance of .com, and that created some trouble, but your second statement is we could put safeguards on .com. I wouldn't say we could put safeguards on .com. I would say that under the dominance of .com, safeguards came about in a very slow, exposed manner by fixing right protection mechanism, by bringing new mechanism, by revising who is, and so I think the DNS has been engaged in fixing this issue on an ongoing basis after the fact, so to say. And the big difference, and that's where I have a problem with my, no, I don't have a problem, but I have a difficulty expressing it on the safeguards, on the new safeguards, on the Spec 11 safeguards, is that we changed gears. We said, okay, there is an expansion because X, Y, Z reasons, demand, pending up, whatever. Now we're going to try it the other way around. Now we're going to go forward and let specific group that he doesn't like, okay, come up with a lot of preventive measures. The second...
Yes.
But we change years before we delegate. Before we delegate all these, how do you have a very nice word, not categorization,
so
but taxonomy. I'm sorry, I have to finish this.
Okay, finish.
Okay, because it's very important to answer your questions and explain where I'm with my paper. So please, I'm very slow in English. I can try to write it beforehand, but it's difficult to discuss it. We have changed gears and we have gone into a process, and that's what we are evaluating. If this process was effective of defining risk beforehand and spelling out conditions and, yes, programmatic, we call it ex ante regulation in Europe. So I think it's very important. That's my bias. I come from telecom, and we make the difference between the U.S. system as an expo system and the European system as an ex-ante system of regulation. Excuse me for using the word. So if you would put exposed in the old system and ex-ante, then you would be talking the same language I speak.
Okay. So drawing these threads together, how should we refine these questions? So can yeah. How can we refine these questions? It strikes me, at least as a threshold manner, we perhaps want to define our mandate issue is, have new GTLDs promoted consumer trust in the DNS? That would be at least a top level. Can we have that incorporated there? To just our mandate issue, have new GTLDs promoted consumer trust in the DNS?
And it's the new GTLD program, I guess.
Sure. No, not there.
Mandate issue.
Or
DNS at the end. That's the issue. As in the DNS.
Right, and we can say has the new GTLD program for the sake of precision. It is a system. It is a program. Right. Yeah. Right. So I think that's a good refinement. So again, so would we replace this third question, which I just put out as a trial balloon because we have all this information about distrust, but would we reformulate that in a way to capture these improvements and innovations, and then also a question to capture our mitigation, which would be the safeguards, which to get to your issue, Carlos, that to me is the place where we connect up the trust issues to the abuse issues, which is, were the steps that we put in place to mitigate risks, were they successful? Right. I don't think we're in disagreement there. So that's my question on the table. How can we reformulate, how can we come up with a question that captures the improvements and mitigation? And I think where we started, Jonathan, was your comment echoing, channeling Jamie about improvement.
Don't forget improvement.
Yeah, don't forget improvement.
Right, that was Jamie's comment. So that in a way, the thing that it might make sense. Sorry,
I should be monitoring that.
This is Jonathan for the record. So it may make sense to invert this and say, has the program put mechanisms in place or innovative mechanisms in place to improve the trustworthiness of the DNS? And the second is, has the new program put sufficient mechanisms in place to mitigate the risks of the downside consequences of the huge expansion of the TLDs? And then the third question is, what is the level of consumer awareness of both of these, and are these efforts yet reflected in overall perceived trust in the DNS? So that looks like that sounds like a bit of a narrative in that sense, rather than starting with the observed behavior, end with it and say, so have we put a good set of mechanisms in to improve the trustworthiness of the DNS? Have we put a good set of safeguards in place to mitigate the risks to the trustworthiness of the DNS? And then what is consumer perception of both of those? Right. Because it's natural that it'll take consumers a while to catch up and to actually gain awareness
And so under that, there are sub-questions, are they aware? And of those that are aware, do they perceive value in these things? And we've gotten some answers like that from Nielsen. Does that make sense to folks?
When you say mechanisms to improve DNS, I think that needs to be more specific, because when I hear mechanisms to improve, that's not precise enough for me to think about trust issues. Do you just mean improve trust?
Oh, to improve trustworthiness.
Okay, trustworthiness.
Both one and two were about trustworthiness.
Okay.
Because trust is the observed behavior,
right?
So both one and two is, have we put improvements in place to improve trustworthiness of the DNS? Have we put safeguards in place to prevent the erosion of trustworthiness? And then what is the observed behavior of users?
So safeguards in place to mitigate risk.
Now
I'm just trying to track the specific language.
Right, to mitigate the risk of erosion of trustworthiness. So then the third is, what is the degree to which these efforts are reflected in public perception? And then there are sub-questions under that. Over time, that's right. So we start strong with, are the efforts good? And then has the public picked up on them? Have they actually identified them as, and we have some beginnings of some feelings that they're happy with the efforts that are being made, right? That was some of the results that were coming through. And we can mention that there is, in fact, some cynicism about the public that the law should actually be enforced, and we can mention that, and that therefore recommend that we've created an opportunity for ourselves to improve trust that's ours to fail, which is what David's point was as well, that the public has validated that what we're attempting to do is worthwhile, but that they're still watching us to see whether we follow through.
The reason I made a note about that, and I think it's very important, is because when I did my homework that I didn't write, when I read the tracking of the compliance with the GAC mechanism, also the GAC people said what we proposed was much stronger. They have watered it down. That's not enough, and so on. So it was very funny to hear the opposite side, that the people in North America don't think it's worth a penny what they wrote in the contract. And on the other side, having the GAC track recording that's not what they expected. They expected more. So it's just wanted
to... I think not worth a penny is maybe an exaggeration, too, because I think what I took from the survey summary this morning was guarded optimism, right? Mm-hmm. That that does sound like a good idea. I don't really believe you'll follow through on it, but it sounds like a good idea. So it's less than say, it's not saying that even if you do it, it won't be good enough. It's saying that the thing you're saying you're going to do is good, but we're reserving judgment about whether you actually do it, right? And I think that that's an important distinction there, about whether or not the effort is perceived as worthwhile. And it seems as though it is, but there's some cynicism about whether or not we will follow through to realize the benefits of that effort.
Okay. So I think the challenge then here is if we want to fit the work we've done already into this construct, we need to have a clear idea of what would go where. So say it again.
I'll sneak out the back door.
Right. No, it is. But, well, let me ask the threshold question. Do people feel that this, that Jonathan's proposal is something that is a good refinement?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
that the suggestion from Jonathan Louise reordered it,
mm-hmm.
it follows a certain narrative
right.
that I think people can follow easily.
I'm sorry, say it one more time. We're all awake, we're all engaged, the computers are down, I'm thrilled. And throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I feel all our work that's been done is perfectly relevant to this. This, I think, is more of an analytical approach of what makes sense in what order. And, yeah. So I don't think anyone need worry that all our work won't be used. I think this all fits in very comfortably. It just doesn't quite fit in the same order, and we need to figure out the place. But, Carlos, go ahead.
I want to comment on your question. I think they're useful as long we don't have to throw them away, as long as we can tweak a little bit
mm-hmm.
the main hypotheses and the questions and so on. And what I was asking for in my case, which I have a prepared statement on that written, but I cannot read it because it's closed.
When you need to read it, Carlos, you may open
and read it. To restate a little bit the issue.
Sure.
And I do think we have to finish the templates just with a little bit more flexibility and revising the questions in a language that we agree.
Yeah.
I think it's useful. And my purpose for this was, okay, how much leeway do I have to restate the Spec 11 group? And I'm ready to do it.
Right.
Okay.
And again, I want to emphasize, nothing is set in stone. I think the best result out of this Vienna meeting would be if we go through the discussion and analytical process together to come up with the best refinements we can. I don't want to leave things set in stone when they're not the right things. That's the whole benefit of us all getting together and thinking together. So nothing's set in stone. Okay. So let's link this back up then. If we start with, has the program put mechanisms in place to improve trustworthiness in the DNS?
That's question one.
I think these would be the new questions. Let's put those on top.
Right.
Let's put those on top.
Do you want me to try to put my template up? Do you want me just to try and do it?
Thank you, Jonathan. Yeah, the other part of ground rules, folks, is whenever you need to duck out, please duck out. There are no handcuffs and chains here. If you need to duck out, duck out. Okay, no, I do too. So, okay, so we have further refined questions 1, 2, and 3, and what I want to do is figure out where our existing papers fit within that, because as I've observed, they do fit in, but I just want to make sure we're clear on where. Yes. You were prescient. Yeah. No, it's good. That's a good thing. I know that it's difficult, and I know that, and I appreciate everyone putting up with my suggestion. Put it that way. I know, I'm good. Carlos, we're... And Carlos, you will get to open your computer and read that. I will not deprive you of that. Yeah, no, I know. So have I basically, like, deprived everyone of a break? Is that what I've basically done? Am I depriving people of our scheduled break? When do we have our scheduled break? Say it again? In half an hour. Okay. Okay. No, okay, good. Okay, no, that's fine. Okay. Okay. So let's take a quick look at this for just 5 minutes, and then let's turn to David. to answer all these questions for us. Then let's turn to David for insights on whether the data we have goes to these questions. Does that make sense? Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think it's just question three and...
Three and four.
Yeah, so four is not... Four is meant to be B, and those A's, so I need to go in. Sorry.
Oh, there's three, not four. There, okay. 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 So it's really question three. Right, right. Okay, so let's just take a look at this reconfiguration briefly. To see if folks feel this makes sense and if this is what we want to adopt. Carlos, you're raising your hand or you're just... you're raising your hand. Okay. Yes, Carlos. Use the mic, Carlos, or get to a mic. Right, I agree with you. Yeah, what Carlos just did is just asterisk that to a certain extent there's some linkage between our that particular trust question and the safeguards question.
In particularly that this group of the trust question is not data or survey based, but number three is.
Well, the other thing this doesn't capture, sorry, this is Jonathan, is whether or not everyone's concerns were unfounded to begin with, right? In a sense, no, but I mean there's improvements and then there were risk mitigation factors, but if the risks were unfounded, that's another thing that could be captured by the survey data, which is that we were too worried about an erosion of trust. And it's not related to the safeguards that there's not been an erosion of trust, but that the risks weren't that high to begin with. Right.
Is it true?
This is Drew for the record. For the large question for number three, I think we need to add something to the end. So have these efforts had an impact on public perception in the DNS, or public perception of what? Or, okay, well, it could be implied, but it kind of goes back to the discussion we just had over whether we're focused on the new GTLD program. Okay. Just wanted a prepositional phrase.
Prepositional phrases are our friends. So for folks who are on the phone and don't have the benefit of this, I just thought I'd briefly read it out loud, and then I think maybe we'll turn our attention to David, who's here, to talk about what data relates to this. But this reformulation is on the high-level question of has the new GTLD program promoted consumer trust in the DNS? The primary discussion paper topic would now be reconfigured to, has the program put mechanisms in place to improve trustworthiness in the DNS? Two, has the program put sufficient mechanisms in place to mitigate risks to the trustworthiness of the DNS? And as a side note, the trustworthiness is our objective component, is the DNS trustworthy? And now we're moving to a subjective, what is the perception of trust? So the third question would be, have these efforts had an impact on public perception of the DNS? And then we have sub-questions, what is the level of consumer awareness of these efforts, divided into end-user awareness and registrant awareness, because that goes to our definition of consumer. B, has consumer trust in the DNS improved? approved, again, both users and restaurants. And then under B, we have four sub-sub-issues. Do consumers perceive value in the new innovation? Do consumers perceive value in the risk mitigation initiatives? Three, do consumers have confidence in the implementation of the innovation and initiatives? And four, has consumer trust in the DNS improved overall since introduction of the new GTLDs? And like any wonderful story, we are ending where we began, which is the whole DNS system. So I just wanted to make sure for folks on the phone that they knew what our discussion was going to be based on. So with that, I thought it would be useful then to take advantage of David being here with us to focus on this third question about how the consumer and registrant surveys can help us address these issues. And if folks have specific questions, especially the folks who've been working on this about information in the survey, this would be a good time to ask David those questions. Or David, you may have just a take in general about this topic, which I'm delighted to have you to address. You can grab this mic or any mic that you're near.
Like that? All right, the magic button. So at the high level, I'll say that in the surveys you have two types of trust information. Trust in the groups of GTLDs or the individual GTLDs that we tested themselves, and then trust in the domain name industry as a whole. So we look at it from both sides. In neither situation, on neither topic track, do we see large-scale evidence of distrust, fear, concern on those levels. Regarding the GTLDs, it's what drives it more than anything else is, again, the hypothesis we've had and continues to seem to bear out is if they look interpretable, if they look meaningful, then I tend to trust them. And in fact, the new ones that we added to the survey this year debuted at some of the highest levels of trust of any of the GTLDs, new GTLDs we've tested. So they hadn't been in the market that long. There's a huge proliferation of them. So earlier today, you asked why is the number in general for the new GTLDs lower? And I had said, you know, time in market, familiarity. The thing I didn't think to mention earlier today is that we started off with a much smaller set, so it's easy to get to know them, whereas now we have this huge proliferation, hard for it, any one GTLD to get as much familiarity. And yet, in the face of that proliferation, we're not seeing any erosion in general trust. People tend to, what they report is they tend to drive mostly off of indicators that they experience on the web, a security badge, a virus warning, you know, certificate warning, those sorts of things, or apparent validity, that it looks meaningful, it looks like it's a legitimate site. It passes the sniff test, so to speak. And all of those things continue to pass. Additionally, there's a when we shift to look at the industry, there's a perception that there are some people who have a negative perception. That's not to say that, you know, there isn't any distrust. A lot of that tends to be based off of perception of the general reputation. I've experienced positive things, or I've heard positive things. I've experienced negative things, or I've heard negative things. But there's also a general perception that, you're motivated by self, or the industry is motivated by self-interest, and that the industry knows the space and the demands better than anyone else, so that's a reason for me to instill it with some trust. Lastly, you look at, we just ask people to associate words with the new GTLDs. Overwhelmingly positive associations. There are some negative associations, confusing, extreme, but still overwhelmingly very strong associations with the positive themes. So that isn't suggesting that you're turning people off or causing people to run away by the introduction of new GTLDs. So those are a few data points, and I think this is one area where we do have lots of different ways to look at it, because we added a substantial number of questions to the survey, took out questions. If you want to look at, what was it up here? I can't remember what I was reading. I know we took out some questions this year, but they were in the last wave, and so we can always go back and look at that data about what causes you to distrust a specific website or those sorts of things. It may have been in the but it wasn't in the registrant survey where it was last year. So even then, and they were similar, but even then, you know, we've got that data available. So that would be my high level, off the cuff sort of thing. So
this is Jonathan. For the record, I guess, is there a distinction between what kind of trust we're looking at between end users and registrants? In other words, what they are looking to trust is potentially different between the two of them, right? Yeah, I mean, or else you're just looking at registrants as a different type of end user. Are you looking at them as educated end users, or are you talking to them in their role as registrants? Because in their role as registrants, the things that they care about from a trust perspective are going to be different. So, like, what makes me trust or not trust a website feels like a less relevant question to be asking a registrant than it does an end user, unless we're just treating end users as registrants as educated end users. If we're treating them as wearing a hat of registrants, then it feels like it's a different set of issues, potentially.
Or are not necessarily totally different, but they would have a unique set of issues that the non-registrants wouldn't care about. As an example, I trust you to expedite my registration quickly, those sorts of things. You know, you can frame a lot of specific issues for the registrants, but for the most part, the trust issues are more general. They're about your perception of the GTLDs and your perception of the industry in general, and that way we could contrast between the two, with the hypothesis that the registrants might have substantially different viewpoints about the industry, and we don't see it. If anything, they tend to be a little bit lower on some measures, a little bit higher on, but very close.
This is Lorraine. I have a question, and this also may be a question for Jonathan. This is the result of our recent discussion, Dave. Do consumers perceive value in the new innovation? This specifically, I'm wondering how to connect that up to the information we already have. So when you say new innovation, are you talking about registration restrictions? That's something we have data on. Or are you talking just about the now new abundance of new GTLDs, which I see as a choice issue?
I've never considered that to be an innovation. No, it comes up as innovation a lot, and I can't be. No, I guess I do. I'm talking in the microphone. So these are high-level questions at some level, and so sub-questions about them are going to be registration restrictions or validation mechanisms, et cetera. And I don't know what other innovations we put in place to improve the system versus mitigate risks. So maybe that's the only one, and I just need to think about that more. But I was trying to come up with a high-level term
right.
that would be a basket that would include those,
sure.
right? So I think that's to be determined what falls into that category. But certainly I meant the validations or restricted restricted use. And I partly came up with it because I know it's in the survey and I know that there was already an answer to that question, right? So that's why I put it in there as part of the sub-questionnaire was that it's a... It's something that people have already expressed some interest in, I think, in the survey. I mean, the thing that I keep coming back to is we keep wanting to throw registrants in there in addition to end users, but registrants are end users. They're a subset. So unless we're looking at unique characteristics of them, then I don't know how, it's any different. If we're only looking at end user concerns, then the distinction with registrants and end users is a specious one.
Well, but we do have these two separate buckets of
answers.
Right, which I have to say confused me when I was looking at it because at first I thought, am I looking at the same survey I was looking at before? And I mean, I think that just reinforces actually conceptually the point you're making, which is this really different? I mean, we've got probably a little bit of different. I don't think the results are that inconsistent from each other. I think that we probably have different numbers because it was different, it's different people responding, so you're going to have a different numbers because you have a different set of people who are responding.
But what it really is a characteristic.
But conceptually, I don't think it's different. I agree with you.
Well, what it is a characteristic of an end user.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it really boils down to. In theory, we could have done one survey and asked people if they had registered a domain name and use that as a crosstab to suggest whether or not more active engagement in the system led you to have greater trust or something like that. But the concerns themselves we're talking about are the same. That's what I'm just hearing now.
Yeah, and it was even more that way last year. That's why we cut some stuff out of the registrant survey and added stuff in to push it to be more targeted. But yeah, but they're not the trust questions by and large.
Yeah, no, just but if I remember well, in terms of awareness, these two behave differently. Registrants were way more aware of the program than end users. So there might be...
But it's still an end user concern.
Yeah.
The characteristic of that particular type of end user that makes them more aware. But it wasn't the concern itself is not specific to the fact that they are registrants. It's just that is a coincidental characteristic that leads to greater awareness of as end users, though.
Yeah,
so that's what I'm getting at.
It does give us an opportunity, and it's already on my to-do list, but because registrants were more aware of the new GTLDs, they're leading the curve, which makes sense for who they are, gives us a larger subsample to look at to see is there any correlation between awareness and the trust questions, which does steer us in the direction of potentially identifying some things that could be causal. We can't prove it, but we can identify potential things. So that's on my to-do list, and we'll be coming back to you with a specific take on that.
This is Lorene. Other questions to David, either about the data you've encountered in your own efforts in grappling with the discussion papers or about this list specifically? Barbara? No? Nope. Okay. Jonathan?
David, I would ask you to just quickly look at what we've written up as question three there and give your sense of whether or not you have the answers to those questions, and are there other interesting questions that we've left out of question three, sub-questions we've left out of question three to which we do have the answer?
So 3 sub A, what is the level of consumer awareness of these efforts? We don't really have awareness of restrictions. We have expectations about them, but we don't have, we didn't ask a question, are you aware that ICANN enforces restrictions or something like that? We didn't ask that type of question. We just asked what they would expect, basically. So slight difference in what you've got there versus what we can deliver.
You asked something about things like .bank, though, which was separate from the expectations question.
Yeah, well, it was still, it wasn't phrased in a way of saying, are you aware that this is a restriction? We were asking, what's their expectation about enforcement of those sorts of restrictions? So slightly different question. I could say, boy, I don't have any specific knowledge of what the policies are. But yeah, I expect that they do. It's a semantic difference, but
I see your distinction you're drawing, and I want to draw a different one if I can. This is Jonathan still. In the one case, you have expectations based on taxonomy, right, which is somewhere in your survey, that I like the fact that there's now dot photography because I'll know that there's photographers in it. But separate from that, you also asked about restrictions and whether or not you thought that they were a good idea or would lead to zero trust. So that's what I meant, the presence of restrictions, not the specifics of them, but can we be asking whether or not they have awareness that things like .bank are happening, or is it just a flow from a general expectation that the taxonomy is going to lead to restrictions? Is there an awareness among consumers that there's restricted and non-restricted TLDs?
So again, we didn't ask them for awareness. What I can tell you is they clearly react favorably to the concept of restrictions.
Okay.
And they have, again, they have differing levels of confidence that those are going to be enforced.
Right.
But we didn't ask them specifically, are you aware of these new efforts? We've asked them if they're aware of GTLDs, new GTLDs, but not restriction efforts on those. We asked them specifically, should there be restrictions on each specific new GTLD that we tested? But we didn't ask them, are you aware that this one is and that? We didn't try and test them on their perception of the policy or the presence of the policy. So, I mean, what I can say there, yes, I can't definitively answer what's the level of awareness. I can tell the answer. I can answer the level of perception about the value of those things, and clearly that those things do, if they exist, people feel they improve their sense of trust. We can answer self-reported trust levels. We can answer that has trended over the waves, at least on a few measures, and we've seen that. And as I said earlier, what I would say is definitively, you can say you have not eroded confidence or trust. It appears that has increased. Is it causal? We're going to do a little, we can't say for sure, we're going to do a little more investigation to see if we can put a stronger correlation there. Do they perceive value in the new innovations? And again, here you're saying the new innovations are the restrictions as opposed to GTLDs. They clearly perceive value in the new GTLDs, and they would like to see some restrictions. The other thing, I'm not sure where it fits exactly in here, though, but it relates to the general discussion, is we've asked them, when there's bad behavior on the Internet, whose responsibility is it? And they tend to look at law enforcement and government regulatory type agencies. It's their responsibility. They don't go, the ICANN gets mentioned, 12% is, it's a low number. Don't quote me on that number, but it's a low percentage. It's mostly, though, you look across, it's overwhelmingly law enforcement regulatory agencies. That's their job. So that's who they think has responsibility for that. So it's easier to maintain a level of trust when you're not the policeman walking the beat. I think we've talked I think we've talked about all of those. There's a little bit more work to do to see if we can strengthen the correlations. But, you know, if I had to make a wager today, being somebody grounded in statistics, wagers are good things generally. If I had to make a wager today, the overall effect of the program has been net positive.
So that's very helpful. So I want to just ask the group, since we clearly will need to, we'll want to tweak this 3A question, because I think previously it was, are consumers aware of new GTLDs, and that morphed into, are consumers aware of,
we should ask that question too, about what they're aware.
Right. So I think maybe, as a 3A, are consumers aware of the new GTLDs, and then have perhaps something, I don't know if we keep this or we have something a little different, but if we can at least add to this document at, under 3A, are consumers aware of new GTLDs? Because we have data on that, and I want to keep that, and then think about how we can tweak
it. Could be the 3A. We just don't have data for it. That they perceive value in them.
I was just looking at their open-ended responses. So this is a free-form response. I could say anything I want, and then we categorize it into these codes. But for why the new GTLDs were created, only 1 in 10 said it had something to do with improving credibility, security, safety. The overwhelming responses were to meet demand and to provide new structure. And the structure is make it easier to identify the type of business, that sort of thing. 22% said they didn't know. So that is a suggestion, and this is among the registrants. It's not a bad number, but it's room for improvement.
Other questions for David, or comments on our list of questions. Our own David now.
This is the own David Taylor. I'm just looking at there where we've got 3A, 1 and 2, where you've split up end user and registrant. I prefer it the way it's done in B, has consumer brackets using registrants, because otherwise you look at the 1, 2, and you then start comparing the 1, 2 beneath. And there the confusion starts. So I think, what is the level of consumer put them in there? Suggestion, anyway. Mm-hmm.
Jonathan, I have a problem separating restrictions as opposed to safeguards and peaks. My question is, instead of restrictions, when we talk about consumers, can we use a positive word like validation or segmentation or so and leave the restrictive ones? Is that right? Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to make a distinction between... Yes. Things we're doing proactively that are new, that are like dot bank is the example that I'm using, where I've come up with this idea to make a safe space for people to do their online banking, and to me that's an innovation to improve trust, as opposed to some sort of a risk mitigation factor that was designed just to prevent the erosion of trust.
Right? Yeah, and if I may comment on that, I just. If we had said to them, what do you think about the creation of a GTLD specifically designed to create a safe space for online banking called DocBank, and it would have these characteristics. That's a much more detailed and specific question. I would be willing to bet my bottom dollar that that would have had even higher levels of acceptance, but we didn't pitch ideas to them. We just kind of said, what's your expectation? Yeah. But everything I know about what people worry about on the Internet, something like that would have a high...
Well, and that, I guess, raises the other question that I keep referring to as the David Taylor question, which is expectation is, again, a different issue, which is, have we created an expectation of validation that goes beyond where we will actually be doing validation? And I guess your data suggests that perhaps we have.
Or
they think that the Internet will fall into the taxonomy that's being created.
Yes, I think it's fair to say that they have an expectation that things will align with the structure that's mm-hmm. implied. That's why they like it, and that's why they think it was created. Whether you've created the expectation or that's something that's just come about is not something I can specifically
right.
answer. You can say whether you've created it or not, whether customers perceive that you've created it versus it's just the way things are is different. There isn't, however, again, going back to those open-ended questions, there are some people who say it's not trustworthy. They don't do background checks. They don't do anything like that. But that's like 5% of the responses. Not an overwhelming perception. There's no indication that there's an overwhelming perception that somebody's asleep at the switch.
Okay. Fabro, and then we're going to move on to our break time.
Just a quick comment, if it makes sense. Questions about just the program and not about the DNS as a whole.
The 3B,
I, only way to say it, is about the program, and the fourth one should be C. If it makes sense. Now that he's improved.
This is Jonathan. For the record, these will probably get refined as they're filled out, but I think the idea here was that as they were introduced to these concepts of restrictions, there was some guarded optimism about their value in consumer trust, right? And that trust was not in the program, but in the DNS. So, that's the point, is there was a belief that their trust in the DNS would be improved by these programmatic elements, but it's not about trust in the program, it's still trust in the DNS. So, this structure, may go away because each of these things can have its own sub-questions. These are still high-level questions that underneath them could have greater specificity, individual picks, individual restrictions, et cetera, that feed into these.
So then would C go away? Because that, I just want to make sure what we're looking at is...
Well, the purpose of C, or what was B for, and it could be either way, and I don't know that it matters, but it was to actually get back to the number that they had, which is we have a baseline and a new number of just trust, overall perceived trust in the DNS, mm-hmm. and we wanted to reflect that number. In other words, has any of this rolled up in such a way that the overall trust in the DNS has improved or decreased? And what we find is it certainly hasn't decreased and maybe has improved a little bit, right?
What's the difference between B and C? I'm sorry, I'm just trying to get my brain right.
Well, the idea behind B was to try to get at some hopes associated with the initiatives that were listed above. In other words, there are some questions that suggest that these initiatives will have an impact on consumer trust, right? That, yeah, if you do this, I'll trust the Internet more. And C is about just that baseline number about whether or not trust itself has improved. So one was about getting at why trust might improve, and the other is did it. They're both perception questions, but one is broader.
I understand how you explained it, but I don't see that reflected in the questions themselves. To Joe or Jane Reeder, to me, those questions look very similar, and your explanation makes sense, but it's not reflected in the questions to me.
Oh, okay. I mean, one is more specific, and the other is more general. Maybe that's one way to put it.
Has consumer trust in the DNS improved? Has consumer trust in the DNS improved overall since the introduction of new GTLD?
Overall, which is the number we have. That's why we're asking it.
I think the problem in my mind, anyway, is with B. Those are specific things
that we looked at. Do consumers, because those are individual questions we ask, that's part of these are somewhat circular, right? That we've asked, will these restrictions make you feel better about the Internet? Yes. But as we took a step back and said, do you feel better overall? We have that as a separate number, that's all. So they're similar in a way, but these are more specific questions are, do you think validations will improve your trust in the Internet? And the answer is yes, but I also, with the caveat, that I'm not sure they'll be enforced. Right? So it's a different kind of discussion about some of these efforts at trustworthiness and what we think the impact on trust will be from them. And the other is, as of today, has trust improved since the baseline?
And if I may, to make sure I'm clear, in my survey terms, B is sort of about those questions that we're asking them about specific GTLDs or GTLDs as a category. C is about those questions about the industry, the domain name industry, correct, overall. Is that, am I, yeah, okay.
So, go ahead, Barbara.
My rationale was that the B has consumer trust in what we do, or what we did, or what we're measuring, has consumer trust in the GTLD program. Because the three questions are about the program. And
okay,
then
so maybe we can refine that then to the GTLD program. That would, to me, be more precise.
So we introduce innovations. Do they trust it? Maybe, no, but we ask. We introduced risk mitigation initiatives. Do they trust it? We introduced innovation. I'm just looking at bit three. If they have confident implementation on how we did it, yes or no. But that would be insufficient unless we ask question 3C. It's if they trust the overall DNS system.
Okay. Break time. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for a really focused, useful discussion. So it's 5:04. So let's come back here and we're next door. Woohoo! I was all ready to continue this. We got some momentum going. Okay. So when do we come back next door?
In 15 minutes, I guess.
Am I holding up?
Five minutes? Well, Well, or we're just making Andrew Mac wait, which I'm fine with too. We have to be realistic. We tell them five, it's not going to be five. So.
Okay, so.
Yeah, thank you.
So try and get back next door after
as
you've had
it
as soon as possible.